Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 101 FM, KMOX. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Happy Tuesday to you. Big day for the Cardinals. The coming out party for Chaim Bloom, and we carried that live. Did 3 hours of coverage, done a lot on the DGS. Coming up at 5, you have Rush Hour Sports with Kevin Wheeler and Matt Pauly, followed by Sports Open Line. Much more to come. I will be listening. You should, too. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we do the Think Tank. We get a couple of our friends together, usually from opposite sides of the aisle, but no a-holes, no bomb throwers. That's the rule on the DGS. We've had a couple of those. We showed them the door. Representatives Ian Mackey and George Haruza are with us. Any friend of Ian Mackey's, it's great to meet you, George.
Great to meet you.
Why don't you introduce your friend?
Yeah, sure. George is a colleague of mine in the State House, neighboring districts as well, in West St. Louis County, Central West St. Louis County. And I've gotten to know George over his freshman term in the state legislature. I'm, of course, a senior, sunsetting on my way out. But I think we're each learning from each other from those various points of view. But George has been a great colleague in the House, other side of the aisle, of course, but somebody I work with on a regular basis. And he and I were fortunate enough to just spend a week together, taking a trip to Israel with the largest U.S. delegation to ever visit the country, 250 state legislators from around the country, all 50 states, and just an incredible experience. Both parties, of course, really just trying to understand what it is we don't see from our news outlets, what we don't see from our perspective on the other side of the ocean, what we can actually see on the ground in person, talking to, of course, people in government, also people in business, people on the street, and what we can learn in terms of where we are with this conflict that, you know, obviously has consumed the region for a long time, but of course consumes our news cycles over here and dominates a lot of our political discussion. Yeah. And I think we learned a lot.
George, was this your first trip to Israel?
No, actually, I've been there. This is my fourth trip because my niece lives in Israel. She met an Israeli, married an Israeli, and I'm son of a Holocaust survivor, so kind of have that that background. And you know, the thing that we that Ian and I kind of really, even though we're on the opposite side of the aisle, this is an issue that we seem to see eye to eye, and so we work on some bill dealing with anti-Semitism last year. And we'll be bringing again anti-Semitism in schools, which has really blossomed since October 7th, 2023. But I found the trip really impactful because you got to see, to me, the most significant aspect was actually visiting the Nova Festival massacre site, where 352 young Israelis were murdered. Actually, not just Israelis, Americans and a number of other nationalities. And the thing that was so, well, I mean, it was really painful because you see, they have a memorial there where they have the each one that was murdered. They have a picture and a little story about them. And these are all people in their late teens to early 20s. And you see the life that they would have had, all the potential. I still remember the one to me that stuck with me was this one, probably a 19-year-old girl that was a budding ballerina. And so there's a picture of her doing kind of one of these things that I could never do, obviously. So, and then just that's just snuffed out. So that was really, really, really rough. The other thing that I think is something that a lot of in America people don't realize that it's a truly multicultural society. So when we were walking down the streets, you see Jews and Christians and Muslims and Palestinians, Druze, Arabs, and Jews of every color, ethnicity, race, and they all seem to work together, you know, maybe not perfect harmony, because in Israel people tend to fight a lot verbally. They're very, very, very active. They're always, just that there are always three positions on an issue, but it really that's a great society. The other thing, which we experienced just one of those, where we have the one of those air raids where they're sending missiles from Yemen, the Houthis, and so we're at the airport and all of a sudden the sirens go off, so everybody just quickly moves to the shelter, and you walk in there and you see the terminal is totally empty except for the bags, with people who are waiting online to check in, just about all the suitcases. And then 5 minutes later, all clear sounded, and then terminal fills up, and it's like nothing happened. So that's how people live. My niece in her apartment has a safe room. There's a room in her apartment that is concrete lined and a metal door. And during the last couple of years, they spent a lot of their time there. So that's kind of back and forth, in and out.
George, I don't think I've ever asked Rabbi Shmuel this question. He has kids living in Israel as well. Obviously, the homeland, and it's a beautiful, vibrant place. But is there also a feeling of duty or obligation or teamwork when you're a Jew and you decide to live in Israel?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that the people there are very united on that. I mean, it's Israel is their homeland, and they will do anything and everything to make sure that they stay safe. To Israelis, what happened October 7th was, to them, it felt like it's an existential threat. They viewed it as that was the beginning of that they would be they're getting attacked. And of course, we had Iran with their close to getting nuclear weapons, which in Israel, they feel they would have no qualms about using them. So there's real unity on that. I mean, I will tell you this is my niece who is this is a political statement, but my niece who's very much in Ian's corner politically and lives in Israel, and she voted for the other side because she's still a U.S. citizen, because that issue was the overriding issue. Everything else is secondary.
It seems to me, I'm far from an expert on Middle East relations, but I pay attention. And it seems to me that over the last few years, and maybe this is forever, but it seems that anti-Semitism has become a football that parties throw back and forth at each other. We're the ones who love Israel. No, we're, you know, it's like watching a game of ping pong or something.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you know, it can be politicized like any issue. And you know, I imagine, I mean, particularly on the right now, you know, with them being in the majority and trying to monopolize it. And of course, it plays right into attacking higher education, which from my perspective is something the other side has kind of gotten in the habit of doing for a little while. So it kind of fills that niche. But I mean, I will say, you know, being over there, you know, bipartisan for sure, but you know, I think there were more Republicans than Democrats. And throughout the trip, you know, obviously their government siding a lot with Trump in terms of, you know, the military sort of alliance that happens there. But one of the nights that was most memorable to me was hearing from the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog. He was Bibi's opponent. He ran against Bibi for prime minister. He and Bibi don't see eye to eye on hardly anything. And he didn't give us a speech. He stood up for an hour and said, let's have questions. And one after the other, people stood up and asked him questions about humanitarian aid, about what's going on in Gaza, about what the UN says. And time and again, when it comes to that issue, you know, what we're seeing in the New York Times, what we're hearing on NPR, what we're hearing from my perspective from left-wing media is just not what's actually happening on the ground. And to hear it straight from, you know, the guy who ran against Bibi, who would probably like to run against him again, not using that as a wedge issue, but saying, no, here's actually how we've spent as a country billions and billions of dollars defending ourselves. The amount of money they have spent in their military that they could have spent taking over Gaza, taking over the West Bank, expanding their territory, going out on you know, preemptive missions. They could have done that. Instead, they invested all this money trying to figure out, like George said, how to stop a rocket coming their way, how to shoot a bullet with a bullet, how to stop it and shoot it down from the sky without anybody losing their lives. That's what they've invested their money in. They are really and honestly, that kind of sunk home to me too, is I kind of understand why people don't like them over there. They're in a place where they're not supposed to be happy, peaceful, joyful, democratic, not a hierarchical top-down society. And that rubs people in that region the wrong way. And you know, outside of politics, you know, I think we can see that in our daily lives. You know, if we're having a bad day, we see somebody having a good day and we think, screw you. Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. I think there's so much of that psychology at play.
Well, go ahead, George.
Well, so to me, you mentioned the anti-Semitism. It certainly is on the fringes on both sides, no question. Historically, it had been on the right side, right, whatever, the far right. Now it seems to be a little bit more coming to the fore, in the, especially the college campuses. On the left, I kind of think of it as almost a circle. They kind of meet at that other side. So. And that's why we can work together, because we both not fans of anti-Semitism. I mean, of anti-Semitism, and that's where we really can make a difference, to make sure that Jewish students can feel safe and go to school without feeling afraid or being bullied or harassed, and so forth. And the other thing is that those demonstrations that we see. There's a lot of lack of knowledge, it seems. And we talked about that, you know, from the river to the sea, to many of those individuals, they don't know what river, they don't know what sea. And they also don't even know what that means. It means murdering 10 million people, which is what Israel has now population, in order to clean that area from the river to the sea. So I think it would be great if... some of these demonstrators had the opportunity to actually go there. I know that's not realistic, but that is really to see with their own eyes what is it, what happened, which is what we saw, but also what can be, which is all that positive that we saw in Israel.
Was it your mother, your father, who was in the Holocaust?
Oh, so my mother was in, survived a concentration camp. Both her parents and all four grandparents murdered in Auschwitz. And then my mother survived a death march from Hungary to Austria, where 2,000 started, 500 made it. And then she survived and was ultimately liberated by Patton's 71st Infantry. So I wouldn't be here without the U.S. Mm. So I am very excited about being in the U.S., not just because of the land of opportunity, and I've certainly been very successful, but you know, without the brave GIs, you know, I wouldn't exist.
What was your mom like?
Well, she was the thing about her was that she loved life, and maybe that experience made her love it because she was so much more precious to her. And she, when we came to the U.S., until we came to the U.S., she was always had a little bit of PTSD. She had nightmares about her experience, thinking she's back in the camp, and she wouldn't even speak about it and suppressed our Jewish heritage. And only when we came to the U.S., the nightmares went away, she started speaking and writing about her experience. So the U.S. was, there wasn't, seemed there was no anti-Semitism after until October 7th. The one thing is when she spoke about it, and she has, I have all kinds of stories about, you know, how that went, was that she was asked, well, how do you feel about the guards, you know? I mean, she saw guards murdering other prisoners, and basically, I mean, my mother weighed 67 pounds when she was liberated at age 19. So she said she does not hold any animosity against the guards. What gets her very upset, and I actually saw that firsthand, when someone denies that this happened. And that is the reason she spoke. And we were in Austria in a little village where they clearly knew that there was this happened. And the person in this little souvenir shop said, no, we took care of them. Well, it turned out that the militia actually set up a shooting gallery up in the pass. And, you know, basically my mother survived it while everybody around her, you know, dropped dead. And this person said, no, we took care of, you know, took care of them, gave them some food. And so that's when my mother, who's like this little, you know, pretty small lady, she just like lunged at this guy, like kind of just wanted to like thank him. And my uncle kind of just pulled her back, you know, saying, wow, it's not worth it. But that was the one thing that really upset. But she just really loved life. Like one story was when one day we were walking and it started raining, and she just told my wife, she said, oh, well, we should go inside. You know, she said, no, I just love feeling the raindrops on my skin, and just, she feels alive. And so she had a really full life.
Yeah. It was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for sharing that. Very powerful. Come back sometime for an hour and just talk about that. Has your mom passed?
She has passed, yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, God bless her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
S1. Welcome back, DGS 426. We found Matt Pauly bumming around, so we brought him in here. Your thoughts on the day? Big day.
Yeah, it's been maybe we didn't get as much information as I would have liked to have gotten. The one thing that surprised me was when yesterday I heard Mo say, hey, you may hear something different tomorrow, talk about the rebuild. I thought that was the avenue towards them acknowledging the rebuild today, and they really didn't. They didn't push back. That's the one thing. They, when the rebuild word was used in questions, they didn't say,
They just wouldn't say it themselves.
Right. So
it's kind of like the Fonz with saying sorry.
Yeah. But it was good. I like Haim a lot. I've liked him since he got here. So I thought his prepared remarks at the beginning were fantastic. And yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah, I thought they wouldn't say the word. But I mean, Bloom said other words that make you understand rebuild.
Right.
He said every decision's going to be made with the long term in mind, not just the short term. Well, that's what a rebuild is. That's the definition of it. You're building for something not right now. So we can call it whatever we want. We've gone through all of the runway rebuild. What I mean, it doesn't matter.
Retool. Reset.
They are starting from a lower point and trying to build to a bigger one.
Just 1 minute left, Matt. What was your take on Haim Bloom saying that Nolan Arenado may or may not be a Cardinal next year, but he won't be released?
I think that's right, because at the very least, even if you get another team to take on all but $1, you just saved $1. So why would you release him?
What if you don't get a team that wants him?
There's a team out there
that he won't, that he would approve.
Well, then you're in the same spot as you were in last year. And
which is a problem.
Yeah.
Unless we were talking about earlier, unless you're clearing out a lot of other guys, and then there's no one being held back by that.
Or his role is very much changed.
Yes. So a lot to learn, right? Okay. Like, we're not going to know this stuff probably till closer to spring training, okay, like how that's going to look and whether it's good or bad that he's back.
Yeah.
There's a scenario where it's okay, just not under the current setup.
Right.
So if you guys are ever going to listen to the Rush Hour at 5 p.m. or Sports Open Line, do it tonight. There's going to be a lot of new stuff that you haven't heard all day. Quick break, right back, DGS.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.